Hey everyone, and welcome back to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. It's been a very eventful couple of weeks. I'll just come out and say it. My son Elias James was born September 15th. He's healthy and doing well, and my wife is resting up and feeling better. And life is still very busy, but I still am passionate about youth ministry and mentorship, so I'm going to publish this episode. This week, I speak with Pastor Eliasib Fajardo, who is the youth director of New Jersey Conference. And man, did I learn a lot from him, talking about youth ministry in Mexico, how to use audio-visual, and entrusting his own children with expensive equipment. That's something I learned listening to him. So check out this episode. Let me know what you think about it. You can always check me out on Instagram at youth_mentor101. So without further ado, check out this episode after the ad. Hello, everyone. I am with Eliasib Fajardo, the youth director of New Jersey Conference. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Excellent, Eric. How about you?
I'm doing good. So let's get right into it and just ask you if you could give a short bio about you and what led you to where you are now in ministry.
Yes, well, I'm a Mexican. I was born and raised in Mexico, and actually, most of my life is spent in Guadalajara, a beautiful city, close to the Ocean Pacific, not too close enough to go there very often, but we did enjoy really good weather. So I love to be in warm places. And I studied there my high school all the way to university, pretty much in the north part of Mexico, which was Montemorelos. Maybe you have heard of that. Yes. University. Yes. So I was not planning to change or go to a different country. I also pastored 1 year in my own town. I had the privilege to, you know, see my friends and start ministry surrounded by family, and it was a beautiful experience there to be in my hometown as a young pastor. You know, the experience there was like my friends were saying, "Hey, Eli," you know, I was responding, "Hey, what's up?" But then, you know, some people start calling me pastor. And the first days that I was a pastor, the first day, I didn't even respond because I didn't know they were calling me. I was not used to the term pastor. But yeah, little by little now, every person now that says pastor, everyone, you know, all the pastors turn around because they don't know if they're calling them. But it was a beautiful experience. And by the time I completed 1 year of ministry, I received a call from the Pastor Ramos. He was leading the churches, the Hispanic churches in Potomac Conference. That was in Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Virginia area. And I had the opportunity to come here and study also in Andrews University in 2007. So I enjoy and learn. I had to learn different cultures, because once you come here in the state, you see a plenty of different, you know, backgrounds, ethnicities, and this is beautiful. I think the Lord is preparing me for heaven, to meet a greater amount of different nationalities, and my experience here has been a blessing. And knowing, you know, young people, I started also working as a youth pastor here in Washington Spanish Church. That was back in 2002. Woo! Wow. You know, yeah. So I've been a while in the ministry. Always, of course, you know, have a passion for young people, and not because, you know, I have all the talents or I've been given all the opportunities. It's just God is so merciful and gracious that has allowed me to work in different areas, but always somehow related to youth ministries since the university and before. So it's been a great ride, and the Lord is good.
Wow, awesome. I love it. Can I ask, since I'm learning about Mexico and
Could you give us a little insight of how it is growing up a Seventh-day Adventist in, you know, Jalisco and Guadalajara, and your any experiences from there that you would like to share?
Yeah. No, yes, of course. You know that Guadalajara was the first state in Mexico more than 120 years ago that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was planted there. Wow. And actually, it was just the second place in all Latin America. So it's a church that has a lot of history there. So growing up there, you know, there's pride that, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been here. And I actually attended several years. I grew up in Rayon, which was the first. There is a big plate, and you know, so everyone is proud to be a Seventh-day Adventist. But unfortunately, there is not much Seventh-day Adventist presence in Guadalajara. It's just, you know, it's still growing. It has a lot of potential, but the reason is also because the main religion there, you know, is Catholic Church, and they're my dad's family, it's Catholic, and they're amazing people. But you know, we are very we want our own, you know, heritage, our own culture. So it was fun to grow up in a city that doesn't have much presence of Seventh-day Adventists. It was a challenge. You know, everyone wanted to invite you to parties and to go and have fun. And when I was a young adult and even a teenager, it was tough because I sometimes didn't want to tell them, hey, you know, I don't go to those churches, to those things, because, you know, my religion or my faith. It was a really fun time to grow. But I feel that allowed me to step up and say, hey, you know, become a little bold and say, like, we don't do these stuff. So I never attended a party. I never went and, you know, used drugs. And when I was in the seminary, I didn't have any testimonies to give when my fellow pastors were like, hey, I come from this and this. And then I was like, oh my goodness, all my life I've been in the church. Mm. But I feel that experience, not even being able to attend the elementary Seventh-day Adventist school, which was across the city, all the way crossing the city. So it was not possible for us to go there. And we end up just being in, you know, a public system school during elementary, during high school. And this was difficult, but I believe God allowed it for us to learn how to be a witness for Him, how to remain faithful. And even though we also grew up in very small churches, my family was sent from church to church to kind of like to plant churches. My mom was the leader. And so as a family, we were in churches like 15 people, you know, 20 people. And as soon as it started growing a little bit more, then she was sent to a different one. And to be able to see that and to be exposed. So every time we saw young people, we were like, whoa, yeah, we want to go with you, because we did not have opportunity in our church. So it was definitely I think good that everything contribute to what I'm, you know, now and what I have experienced. So God allowed those beautiful things for me to happen right there in Guadalajara, Jalisco. You know, I continue to pray for my city. There's still a lot of things that they can do, and young people and people that they can reach. So yeah, that my heart is there. Just recently, I was scheduled to go in April to preach an evangelistic meeting in Rayon, in my church. That was the first time I'm going back to preach in my home church, you know, after 30 plus years ago. And unfortunately, the COVID-19 came around, but I do believe that God will allow it, and soon everything will go back to normal, hopefully, and I'll be able to go back there to my hometown and preach about Jesus.
Amen, amen. So that brings me to my next question. You brought it up. We are in the midst of a pandemic right now, and the youth directors I've talked to have given different answers for this question, but the question I've been asking is, even though camporees and rallies and the usual major events that youth directors at the youth ministry department at the conference lead out in have been canceled due to social distancing, do you still find your position just as busy as ever using virtual means to reach your young people?
Oh, yes. No, definitely. I think I'm a little bit more, because we're starting also with our family doing videos, and also for my kids, they're passionate about learning the ukulele and the guitar, and giving, you know, a worship service on Sabbath. So we recorded, edited, had some things there. So now you have to put it, you know, all the meetings that now the NAD, the union, the divisions, and they I believe it's great. They are doing more often online and using this platform, Zoom. So everything adds to it. But it is beautiful, because I don't have to drive. And this is the wonderful thing that for pastors, for directors, you know, if you go down to the union, then you're driving, you know, 3-4 hours or more. And that takes time. But now I'm able to get off of this meeting, and then in an hour connect with another people in different state, and just, you know, record my sermon and send it for the Sabbath, and they're gonna play it in a different district. So I believe, yes, we are busy, but the beautiful thing is that we're able to reach more people. And I do believe this is a blessing. I think it's preparing the Seventh-day Adventist Church for something great, you know, that we can spread the gospel in a wider range.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. I love that answer. And for those who are watching on the YouTube, you can see this, but for those on the podcast, you can probably hear it. Pastor, you have a professional podcasting mic right now, even more professional than mine. So
No, I'm following.
No, hey, you're following my example, but I know a yes. professional mic when I see one. So my question is to you, you probably, from me just saying that you take using virtual means and online and social media very seriously, how do you tell, you know, young people or elders of your conference how important it is to use these means to reach people, social media, Facebook, podcasts, to reach people?
Correct. Correct. You know, before I answer your question, I do believe that I need to say thank you to the people who invested in me, to the people that you know, had the vision of sending me to seminars and telling me what things to do. And you know, I got excited of all of that. When I was a young pastor, I started working with several pastors of Guadalajara there, and the president of that conference told me, I want to send you to a seminar about production in television, and I just want to know if you are interested in going. And I'm like, you know, I opened my eyes. I was young, 23 years old, and said, like, of course, you know, I'm here. And then they sent me to a seminar, the general conference with the Novo Tempo Television back in 2001. They were performing in the northern part of Mexico, in Montemorelos. So I went there. I learned how to edit. I already knew how to edit analog. So they saw one of my videos. So the conference was, you know, this guy can contribute to the church. Mm-hmm. So they started investing in me. So I loved to record and video and start editing and make my own, you know, small little videos. So now when this is happening, you know, I'm ready. I'm kind of like, you know, pre-trained, I could say, to do this and to explode it in a more quality way. And I love about Armando, we just had a meeting a few days ago, and he was saying, we need to provide quality content for me. Just like, you know, the Michigan, you guys are doing it beautifully. I do believe that our churches, our elders, our youth can explode these in a powerful way and can spread the word of God with more people, because the sound is good, the image quality, the lighting. I see that you have a ring light right there. If we can start seeing this as a very important channel of how church impacts the world, I do believe that we can do amazing stuff. But it has to start with somebody that has a vision. And maybe now I'll talk to the pastors right now and leaders and the elders, give us a mic, a condenser mic, purchase a small video camera and tell our youth, create content, create this beautiful, start a podcast, a YouTube channel. And I know that the teens, the youth are going to do marvelous and beautiful things for the Lord.
Wow. What you just said was something really amazing. I think that is so powerful. If we would tell pastors, to get some low, not too expensive, because we know churches are on a budget, but some good equipment to give to the young people of the church and say, hey, create some content, podcast or some short videos that we can post on our website and our social media, just chronicling your experiences about Jesus, being authentic. That would be amazing. I think, this time has basically forced us to go back to our roots of the early Correct. Church when James White and all of them were writing, using the press and the printing press and all that stuff, and it exploded.
Amen.
The Adventist Church, I think we are back in those times using technology. So, and I love that you know your stuff. I mean, you even know I have a ring light. So you know high quality content. That's awesome, Pastor.
Yes, I do feel that we as leaders, we need to invest in and contribute to that, so others can start exploding those talents. Let me give you a short example about here in my family. My son uses my video camera, which is a nice DSLR and with video stuff. And he started using it 2 years ago. He was 8 years old and he was going everywhere. He went out of the home and in the woods. We lived in Virginia at that time. And I started recording because he saw his dad making videos for camp ministries, for youth ministries. So the old guy in me is like, this camera, it's a lot of, it's very expensive. I don't want him to, to break it, to... So my old man in me, he was like, no, give me that, put it away. But then he kept going after my camera and his nick and start recording things. And I said, I think it's okay. If he breaks it, no problem. We'll get a new one. Wow. But now he just had an idea to do a seminar in pornography. He edited, he's 10 years old, and he edited in iMovie. And I'm not saying this to say, hey, I'm really good, but actually I didn't even taught him how to edit in iMovie. He just opened the computer and said, like, Dad, you haven't edited. We recorded more a couple months ago before the COVID-19 started. And says, like, I want to edit it. I said, oh, I'm sorry, son. Yes, he sat down a couple of days ago. He finished it, and we're about to launch it. I just need to do some the export the file, actually, because that's the only thing that he hasn't done. But I said, like, wow, this is happening in my own home right here. So imagine what could happen in the churches, what could happen in the districts if we just allowed our young people, allow our kids to get a hold of this equipment and utilize it for the glory of God. And if they break it, they break it, that's fine. That's the matter of time, he broke it, he ended up breaking it. And I had to get a new one, but it didn't hurt, because now I'm in, motivating him. I'm giving them materials and knowledge that I know is going to be a blessing now it's been a blessing. It's going to be more blessing in the future. So, wow. You know, just my 2 cents there.
No, that really speaks to me, because I also have an expensive DSLR, and my son is 4, and I get very, very nervous when he starts to pick it up. And my wife's like, no, let him. And my wife was right. I have to give her credit, because, and I'm guessing the same experience happened with you, because after a few pictures, like, it looks like he's not doing, and then you look at it and you're like, oh my goodness, this is a nice picture. He did a really good job.
And you're like, they are great.
Yeah. And not only that, you mentioned that he's doing a seminar. I'm talking about something that adults don't want to talk about, a topic that we don't want to even go into. So that, I think that's really important in empowering young people, because when they have the opportunities, they will reach in areas that older generations don't want to talk, you know, talking about depression, mental illness,
correct,
the dangers of pornography, the dangers of addiction, and all these things. That's a blessing to just let them.
It is.
And I just have to repeat the thing that you said that really speaks to me. If they break it, it's okay. We'll buy another one. Wow. I think is the biggest fear. It's like, oh, they're gonna break it. Don't let them.
And you know, it took me a while because it's in me. You know, I want to keep good care of my things, and especially if has, you know, a couple hundred and thousand dollars invested in equipment, then your brain is like, no. You know, you don't touch that. Is things you leave it there. My son just came. I don't know if you noticed, but when I was, he heard me talking about his brother, and he was telling me, "Hey, daddy," he said, "I also record with your camera." It's like, you know, he's 7 years old, and even before that. But I do feel that we can do a lot better. And I'm talking also, you know, to me, that we can improve. We can give resources and open opportunities for them to utilize this powerful world of media and social media for Jesus.
Awesome. Well, Pastor, let me ask how it is in New Jersey Conference. I think it's a very interesting conference. A lot of amazing things come out of there.
Yes.
Could you give us a little insight of how it is to lead the young people of New Jersey?
Listen, Eric, I'm here and not long. I'm going to my second year, but it's, you know, it feel like literally shorter than that. Mm-hmm. because the people here are great. You know, I follow a path that leaders before me train and open for me. So I do want to recognize this fellow directors that came and had a wonderful vision and empowered the young people. And I believe, and this is not just, you know, making, hey, you know, the youth ministries in New Jersey Conference are great. It is because before they had vision and they invested in young people. And I do believe that over here, they're the youngest coordinators in our nearby conferences, probably in North America. And the reason is because they entrusted to younger kids even before I arrived. So I don't take credit for that. And these guys that now have been for years, you know, they're still 20, 24. 22, you know, so they started even before their 20s to in being in positions of leadership. And I'm talking about state coordinators, Eric. I'm talking about the leaders that serve the entire state, the entire conference. And of course, you know, we have passionate adults that serve as coordinators, especially in Pathfinders, that, you know, once a Pathfinder, always a Pathfinder, a Pathfinder for life.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It's great. It's beautiful to continue the ministry, But I do believe that here in New Jersey, it was that, you know, allowing our young people to have positions of leadership, knowing that probably, you know, they're not going to do it perfectly. But now I can tell you, they do an amazing job. They run the things. They have great ideas. They have a lot of energy and passion about ministering their own, you know, young fellow friends and people in the different churches here in New Jersey. So I'm very, very proud of them. Recently, after the COVID-19, you know, exploded, we had been working with some of young adults in creating something that it was called Hub. And, you know, praise and worship, powerful testimonies and preaching. And the plan was to go and do rallies in different parts of the state. But the COVID-19 came and everything was shut down. All the services, all the big events have been canceled, mission trip. But they thought, they, you know, got together and pretty much told us, hey, Pastor, we're thinking in this. Also, they talked to me and Pastor Buffy and said, we want to have our own worship for young adults. And they started, now is the second Sabbath, it just passed, that they have launched this program just, you know, for young people, by young people. And they have, you know, all that running